Not that we'll finish talking about every aspect of prayer, but at least what the Lord has laid on my heart to do, we will hopefully finish up this morning. I've been told that I come over the internet very low in voice, so I'm going to do my best not to cause feedback, but get out as much volume as possible. All right. Next thing we need to do is get the glasses on. And the thing we always need to do is go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the privilege to gather together this morning around your inerrant word. Thank you for preserving it down through the ages through all kinds of persecution and attempts to discredit it and to demonize it even. Father, we just pray and thank you for the precious word of God. We know that we have your message to us. And we can live by it, Father, and when we live by it, we honor you and honor your Son and please you. So many blessings come from being obedient children. We thank you, Lord. Again, thank you for the rain. The rain is needed. And Lord, we just thank you for your provision for our every need, especially our spiritual need, and that you commended your love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, your Son, your precious and only beloved Son, died, bore our sins in his body, shed his precious blood to pay the full price of our sin debt. We thank you for that. We can't measure it in human terms, Father. It's a sacrifice beyond measure and the unspeakable gift that God, that you have given to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so we started off in our study of the protocols of prayer, such things as who our prayer should be directed to and what our condition should be as we come before the Lord in prayer and things like that. And when we got into discussing some things about different aspects of, it's hard to find a word to describe all the things that go on in prayer. And so we talked about gratitude, and we talked about praise and all those things. And if I can find out where I ended up last week, we can get on with the lesson today. So I think it was somewhere around, to whom is prayer to be offered? And we start talking about such things that sometimes, you know, we know that our prayer should be directed to our Heavenly Father. He is the focus of our prayer, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the path to our prayer, and the Holy Spirit being the power of our prayer. We mentioned last week the world is full of praying people, but most of them are praying to the wrong God. And that's tragic, because some of them are more devoted to their prayer life than we are devoted to ours. We know we're supposed to pray to God, and we talked about that in the protocol, Psalm 5, verse 2, hearken unto the voice of my cry, O King and my God. And we mentioned that that Old Testament word for God, Elohim, was 2,249 times in the Old Testament. It's important business. Our prayer time with God is serious business, and we ought not to treat it any different, no matter whether it's a short prayer or a long prayer. In some cases, our prayer was to Christ. The thief on the cross did not have the time to go through the protocols of prayer and decide who, Lord, help, you know, Lord, save me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That was the extent of his prayer, and it was answered. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's his prayer. He's asking for something. He's coming before somebody. He's asking the incarnate Lord Jesus as he was at a time of his earthly ministry. To the Holy Ghost. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and into patient waiting for Christ. Who directs our hearts? Well, if you're saved, it's the indwelling, hopefully it's the indwelling Holy Spirit. Our prayer is something to go through Christ. We know that for sure. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. God hears our prayers. Psalm 65, verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Matthew 12, 26 tells us God hears every idle word. And in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so there are certain things about what God can hear and what he can do. We can't really totally understand a spirit being because we live in a material shell. God answers prayer. We know that he answers prayer. Psalm 99, verse 6. Moses and Aaron among the priests, and Aunt Samuel among them that called upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Praise God, we have a prayer. We have a God that answers our prayers. All those other folks out there, their God can't answer their prayers because their God doesn't exist as they think it exists. That's tragic. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I just regressed there a little bit, but that's a beautiful verse to have committed to memory. Isaiah 58, verse 9, Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Prayer is described sometimes by the bowing of the knees. Ephesians 3, 14, For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, our Lord Jesus. We usually do that in praise, in worship. It talks about looking up. Prayer is described as looking up. Psalm 5, verse 3, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayers unto thee and will look up. You know, that could be that. We always talk about looking up. We'll talk a little bit about that a little later. But to look up. So we look up and we look in, if we're outside, well, we look up here and what we see is plaster and lights and things like that. But if you go outside on a dark, clear evening and not much ambient light, you can see just the glory of God. It's a wonderful picture. It speaks volumes to us. Looking up. And so, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 13, For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold and stood up in the, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward the heaven. So he knelt down and he raised his hands and he spread his hands towards the heaven. We tend to kneel down and bow down. It talks about the lifting up of the soul in prayer. Psalm 25, verse 1, A psalm of David unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. The soul is our eternal being. It is the likeness of God's image that he endued man with when he created him. It needs to be serviced on a regular basis. 1 John is the spiritual service station. No waiting, no appointment necessary. All can be serviced immediate and with a real guarantee. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our spiritual service station. Lifting up of the heart. So we talk all about these things that we think of body parts and spiritual. We get them all mixed together. And there's a reason for it. God hasn't put anything in his word that isn't there for his perfect reasoning. Lifting up the heart. Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Again, talking, they did a lot of lifting up of hands. It's the pouring out of the heart. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. There isn't anything you cannot tell God. And in our life, if it's something sinful or something that's getting in our way of service or something, he already knows about it, but he's waiting for us to tell him about it so it can be dealt with. Amen. Pouring out of the soul. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, should be a very familiar set of verses to Bible students. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have but poured out my soul before the Lord. Hannah so much wanted a child that she was willing, if the Lord would answer that prayer, a man-child she wanted, that she would give him back to the Lord for service for all of his life, which she did, and the Lord gave her Samuel. Amen. Calling upon, so we call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 12, verse 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, we talked a little about that. The first time that happened was way back in Genesis. And so, and Psalm 116, verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, beseech thee, deliver my soul. So we call upon the name, calling upon the name of the Lord. We talked about the fact that you cannot separate the name of God from God, the person of God. When you call upon his name, you're calling upon his person. And so he tells us not to take his name in vain. Sometimes we need to cry out to God. Psalm 27, verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy, have mercy. When we're looking for mercy, when things are so bad, we're just looking for this mercy. And we can go to prayer everywhere. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without deity. So that's maybe men everywhere. Everywhere men are, they should be praying. We don't have to come to this building to pray and worship. But God wants us to come and have fellowship that we might edify one another in everything. In everything we should go to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we keep things in us that we need to share with others and help that they might help bear the burden and we might help bear their burdens. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful, be anxious, be not anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Everything means everything. And even for temporal blessings. Genesis 28, verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to be put on. So here's we can ask for temporal blessings too. Not everything has to be spiritual. We can ask for repairs to things. We can ask for the Lord to help us find something we think we've lost. There are situations in the Bible where people have lost things and swept out and looked and rejoiced because the Lord made them go through the sweeping process. But eventually he revealed the coin the woman had lost, and she was so excited about it. So excited about it. We go to the Lord, Proverbs verse 30, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, I have a problem with convenient for me. I think that means good for me. I like a lot of things that maybe aren't so good for me. And so do you, if you would admit it. Can you imagine if there was a verse in here that said you shouldn't be eating pizza? I mean, we'd all have real problems. Spiritual blessings. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do we seek him? We seek him in prayer. For mercy and grace in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not arrogantly, but we have an intercessor. We have a great high priest there. We can come boldly and with confidence unto the throne. If we ask anything in his name, we can have real confidence that he'll answer. And then we have a model. We talked about the model prayer that was given, and I'm not going to go through that again, but that was given to disciples in Old Testament times. And we talked a little bit about the fact that for the Jew in those days, the physical kingdom was very much the kingdom was that their mind was preoccupied with. They wanted the Romans to be done away with, and they wanted to reestablish the throne of David. And that's going to happen, but hasn't happened yet. Vain repetitions are forbidden in prayer. Matthew 6:7, and when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So our prayers need to be, they need to come from the heart. They need to come from the heart. And they need to be, they don't need to be packaged in any particular way. They just need to come from the heart, and we need to get to it. God's not interested in a lot of trivia. He doesn't want to know the ball scores or what your favorite team did or any of that. He wants to know what's going on in your life and your service for Him. Ostentation is forbidden. Matthew 6:5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. So it needs to be, it's not to draw attention to ourselves. And sometimes we're asked to pray in public, or we're asked to pray at some public event. We're not there to show people maybe how much we know, and often how much we don't know about God's word. And the accompanied prayer needs to be accompanied with repentance. 1 Kings 8:33, when my people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. We don't want to go to prayer with unconfessed sins in our own life. Jeremiah 36:7, it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and fury of the Lord that pronounced against this people. They needed to return, repent from their evil ways. Nehemiah 1:4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Confession before prayer. Self-abasement. Genesis 18:27. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Also come upon me and answer me. In Psalm 34:6, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, we need to come knowing that we're wretched, undone, and without a whit of righteousness of our own. I have none, none whatsoever. The righteousness I have is all of Christ. We need to draw near to God. So, you know, when we think of drawing near, we again the physical sense, but God is everywhere. And sometimes I think, you know, it's like the angels that are maybe in this room. We just can't see them because of the smallness of our faith. Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all his works. Hebrews 10:22 tells us to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Not wavering, not double-minded, not sure. I don't know if the Lord's good. You know, we don't want to come in doubt. We cry to heaven. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32, Hezekiah the king, the prophet, both him and Isaiah the prophet prayed and cried to heaven. Beseeching the Lord. In Exodus 32:11, Moses besought. So we have another word that tends to be, we don't use it a lot in our English today. The word besought is to pray with great urgency. Sometimes our prayers are urgent. They're not long range. You're not asking, Lord, teach me and open up my heart and show me. And, you know, that's a process that can go on for years. And hopefully all of us are still learning. But there are some things, there might be prayers in this room that need to be answered today. There's an urgency. There can be an urgency. There needs to be in the midst of a hurricane or a wildfire, a tornado, and we may seek God's immediate emergency, maybe for the withdrawal of his wrath. In Job, and we need to seek guides. If thou would seek unto God betimes early and make thy supplication to the Almighty. There's some stuff there that I think we'll just skip over. Seeking the face of the Lord. The face of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I think that has, when you seek the face, you're seeking a closeness. We want a closeness to God. He's willing to be very close in when we get that proper relationship to him, when we are confessed up to doing, we're doing and are being obedient, and we're confessed up to date. He wants that close relationship with us. Making supplication. Job chapter 8, verse 5, if thou would seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty. Jeremiah 36, verse 7, also presents their supplications. The idea of supplications is a humble and earnest attitude. We need to remember who we're coming before we approach the Lord in prayer. Supplications. How do we get into a spiritual position? You know, how do we get to that? We're told to pray always, and we pray at different times and in different venues and different things. He says, we need the supplication is something that needs to be a humble and earnest request. Supplication seems to be a deeper pleading, often for an emergency. You have some loved one that's in the ER or something after an accident or something, and the need is urgent, and it's a deep need. It might be a child or something, and a deep need, and you have the outcome is just, you know, it needs to be done now, Lord. You need to answer me now. It needs to be acceptable through Christ, our prayers. Nothing is more important than the pathway to God. I mean, it's all a waste of time if you're trying to go the wrong path, which is what millions of people are trying to do today. John 14, 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So how do we attach the name to our request? Just what words? Do we just add these words, in Jesus' name? I mean, do we just add them on like we would if we were writing a sentence? I don't think so. So we need to be caught up to date with our sin. We need to be, you know, caught up to date with our sin issues. We need to be fully confessed. Short accounts. Keeping short accounts with God before we seek his presence and action on behalf of ourselves or even others. John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give unto you. Well, we can't do that without the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us very clearly that. It is not earnest prayer for others' fruit. The phrase of our lips in thanksgiving is fruit. Hebrews 13, 15. John 16, 23 and 24. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So asking in the Lord's name is a very important spiritual issue. It's not just an issue of words at the end or the beginning of a prayer. Our prayers ascend to heaven. Our understanding of the spiritual realm is limited in our limited environment, Everything outside the earth is considered up. I mean, when you think about it, what is up and down? Up and down is only has any meaning for us here on earth. Those people up there in spacecraft, when you tell them to look up, there is no up except with relative to the container they're in. And so, they ascend to heaven. Our understanding is limited. Everything outside of earth is considered up. For us today, we look up, but on the other side of the world, if people were pointed in the same direction, they'd be looking down at the center of the earth. So it's a spiritual thing. It's not necessarily a physical thing. And so the Second Chronicles 30, verse 27, then the priest and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Hear that? And so the Holy Ghost is an important part of, the time is just flying. The Holy Ghost, the promise of the Spirit, Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. The Holy Spirit provides the ability to appeal to God with earnest prayer. We can't do it in the flesh. The spirit of adoption leads to it. Romans 8:15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the daysman that Job was looking for. He's our daysman. One hand on the shoulder of God and the other hand on the shoulder of the believer. Job longed for one in Job's day. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, we are helpless in communication with God, as was Job. In Galatians 4, verse 6, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He helps our infirmities. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. And we just can't get to the heart of the matter because of grieving or severe health issue. We just can't get there. And we're trying. Sometimes there's so much going on that we don't even know where to start. But the Holy Spirit does. He'll get us there. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I think that proper prayer can be evidence of some salvation, can be evidence. Acts 9, verse 11, and Ananias was told to arise and go to the street which is called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. That was the reason that Ananias was told he should go. He didn't want to go. The reputation of Saul was far and wide, but he prayeth. So that meant something. That meant a lot to Ananias, and so he went. And of righteousness, prayers of those dead in trespasses and sins are of no avail. Prayer has to have some life attached to it. Our standing is one of total righteousness in Christ. Our state is another matter. Hebrews 9:7, but unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and then for the errors of the people. So we need to go before the Lord in prayer with our hearts prayed up to date. And we don't have to be in any special place. We don't have to be, it doesn't even have to be verbal. It just has to be from heart to heart. James in 5:16 talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a loaded phrase. There's a lot of things in there: fervent, effectual, and righteous. All three of that's a three-point sermon for somebody here. Of the upright, a delight to God. Our Heavenly Father is pleased to communicate with the upright. He wants to talk to us. He wants to have fellowship with us. Not all prayer needs to be asking for something. We can go. We can just go to the Lord and praise Him and talk about all the things He's done for us. And we don't have to package it in any kind of biblical language. We just need to be sincere about it. Unfeigned praise is always welcome if it's not it's not fake. He doesn't want any part of our flattery. So when we think we want to be thankful to God, then we just ought to go and thank Him. Should be offered up in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. June 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is the path, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is the power. In faith, Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, wavering nothing. We don't need to go before the Lord with any kind of doubt in our mind as to whether He can do what we need to have done. Sometimes we ask and we don't ask correctly. Maybe we ask sincerely, but we don't quite understand, you know, what God would have for us. And what's so, and James 1:6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. And we need to draw close to prayer in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith. Not partial, but full. How very important is this assurance? 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We need to come before the Lord's throne of grace confidently. We don't want to live into Him as to what He can do. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We need to come in a forgiving spirit, Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts, for we forgive our debtors. If we're going to say that, we better be doing it. And with our heart, and I'm just about going to run out of time. I told Pastor that there's much more that can be said about prayer, and I think, you know, maybe later on in the future we can not do everything, but, you know, have just one or two sessions on it. So I'm going to close now. Father, thank You again for the privilege to come into Your most holy presence, clothed in the righteousness of Your only begotten Son, Your beloved Son. We come as sons and daughters adopted into Your family. What a privilege that is, Lord, with blessings beyond our understanding. We thank You for Your love that You commended towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Your Son died for us. We thank You that He sits at Your right hand making intercession for us. And we thank You, Father, for Your word preserved down through the ages for us, that we might know Your will and, Lord, and in prayer do that which is pleasing in Your sight. Be with the pastor and service to follow. Prepare our hearts to be fed richly from Your word today. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified in our midst throughout this day. I pray in His precious name. Amen.